1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God. 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, we're coming right back in to another edition of the Skulligers Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Bradmerkel. With me, as always, my good friend, Mike Anderson. A little bit worse for the wear after this game. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all right.
You're all right. And with us also, special guest, Mike's own father, the legendary Dave Anderson. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Not too bad indeed. Vikings lose, of course, 24-10 to the New England Patriots. Tough game to watch, kind of didn't really do much, but before we get into the Vikings, let's take a little trip around the league, kind of some of the surprises that came out of this week, kind of how that affects our beloved team's playoff chances. So I think the first up in the docket for me is the Giants did it so solid and beat Chicago.
Yeah.
Thoughts on this, gentleman?
Chase Daniels couldn't get it done, so we talked that that's an opportunity if Trubisky's out. And Giants managed to get a defensive score. It was good enough. I mean, the Giants are a better team than their record indicates. We've talked about that all year. They've got some talent there. So, yeah, it was a great early slate of games for the Vikings. Unfortunately, they could not take advantage of it. But I think the Bears have the Rams next week. I want to say so. You know, for you optimists, which we'll get to. Apparently, you two
are. Yeah.
You know, the Vikings are probably. Still control the North, as crazy as it sounds, if you assume the Rams beat the Bears next week, which I think most people do. So
Dave, that brings it up there. What do you think of the Bears team here? You trust them to actually be able to take this?
You know, it's interesting to me if you find out, and we may never know this, if Trubisky is truly was ready and capable to play in that game, because I think that they took the Giants maybe a little lightly going into that. Chicago did, and with Trubisky, if he was healthy enough to go out there and play, it does make you wonder if maybe they didn't make a mistake on that call, trying to rest him, knowing they were going in to a tough part of their schedule.
Sure.
But I agree with you, Mike. I mean, the thing is, the Vikings, if we play better, obviously, we do control this division, I think, because Chicago does not have an easy route. You know, you figure with us in there, they've got Green Bay energized coming off, you know, obviously with what's going on there.
Yeah, new coach.
Could be a wild card game in there, you know. You never know what's going to happen in that game.
The problem is that we got to run the table and we got to have them drop two.
Well, you know? But one of the two is going to be against us week 17, correct. Which I still correct. Think is so going to be for them, the division.
The Rams take care of that, and then we obviously, you know, we control our own destiny, and if we win out, we win the division. In my opinion.
And I think I would tend to agree there, definitely.
Yeah, hypothetically, if we went out, we would.
Yeah, hypothetically, if we went out, but everything's hypothetical until it happens, Mike.
Right.
So, hashtag believe.
Did Trubisky, was he their backup this week, or emergency quarterback, or did he not dress?
I honestly do not know.
Okay.
I thought he dressed. I guess I didn't get a chance to watch that game. That was not one of the televised games with the...
Yeah.
They cut in at the end, and I do remember seeing him get pretty excited when they tied that game up. But
yeah, I don't remember.
Things fell Chicago's way there. I mean, that onside kick and, I don't know, the pass interference, the things that went along that way. I mean, they were going to throw that ball regardless, I guess, but realistically.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that went their way to get them in that position, and all I could think about was, no, don't let this happen.
Right. But... Just, I guess, another around the NFC North there. Every single NFC North team lost this week. Obviously, the Packers losing to the Cardinals in a missed field goal, which I thought was endlessly hilarious. Because that's just the Packer thing right now.
Yeah, you know, that did put me in a much better mood, obviously. And then our Vikes had to kind of wreck that. But anytime I can see Aaron Rodgers with a scowl on his face, it's a good day for me.
True.
It had to have been the quietest I've seen Packer Twitter in a
game.
I mean, I was throwing jabs out because that game was on, of course, and I was thrown out, like, this is an absolute pathetic performance for a team that knows it has to win out, whatever. Not even a response to that, because, I mean, people just knew it. I mean, there was, you're at home and you can't beat it, you can't get up for a two-win Arizona team, you know, and...
Whoa, now three-win.
Three-win now, yeah. Well, they beat the 49ers twice in Green Bay, I think someone told me.
Yeah.
A team from the desert comes to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's the other thing, yeah, and it's a snowy day there.
A December day in Green Bay, and you can't even take that one.
Of course, McCarthy was relieved of his duties after the game.
Special assistant to the offensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy, to the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, no, we're not.
we do have a recycling program, it appears, goes through.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there. It's going to be definitely interesting to see where he ends up and what the Vikings do this offseason, but that's a different podcast.
Yeah.
We won't quite get into that yet this week.
I actually think the Lions, just to give the Lions small credit for, you know, a very few time, they actually held the Rams game. That game was close in the second half.
Yes.
So give the Rams a little bit of credit, or the Lions a little bit of credit for keeping it close against, you know, I think at this point, clearly the best team in the NFC.
Yep, the other big surprise we saw on Thursday, Cowboys taking it to the Saints.
Yeah.
That one was a conundrum and a half for me. I don't know what you make of that, if that's a start of the Saints' downcline, or is it just, you know, they just had an off week?
You know, it's a copycat league, and I do think that obviously Dallas showed how you can get Drew Brees off of his spot and make him have to kind of, you know, he's only 6 foot tall. He's not a really tall guy. So, I mean, they were pushing up the middle with a ton of pressure. They hit him several times. They sacked him, obviously. And you could tell Brees looked really rattled. I have not seen that before in him, not very often.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of pressure to get him in that state because, like you said, he's a guy that gets the ball off quick, and he never really gets into that kind of rattled state of mind. It always seems like he's calm, cool, collected, no matter what you're doing to him.
That last throw, I can't explain it. I mean, to watch him throw that interception was... You know, with the game on the line, so to speak, it's like, wow, where'd that come from? You know?
Yeah, you don't see that too often from him.
No.
A couple other notes to touch on here. We got Jaguars beating the Colts 6-0. If you were to ask me if I was predicting any game to end with 6 total points, this would not have been one of them.
No.
But based on what the Colts were doing the last few weeks, just lighting it up.
Well, Jags' defense has not been that great this year.
No.
Yeah, and then they throw up this performance, which is like, just an out-of-body performance for the Jaguars this year. I don't know what's going on there, but their playoff hopes, I think, at this point are done.
Jacksonville's, yeah, definitely.
Jacksonville's definitely. But, I mean, the Colts still have a shot to sneak in there late.
Right.
If they can put together a string here.
They had put together a nice string. They started horribly.
Yeah, and I think...
They had won 5 in a row, I think, up to that point.
Yeah, 5 or 6 in a row. Yeah. I don't know. I blame myself. I dropped Bailey this week to... cut ties with him, and then I picked up Vinatieri, and of course he goes for 0.
Yep.
I just can't. I'm cutting kickers in all fantasy leagues next year. I'm pushing for it.
I think that's probably going to be the trend here, because they're just not reliable as they once were.
Good
for
God.
You know, static 8 points, and maybe you get 15 out of 1 week. Now it's like 0, negative 2. Some leagues are doing negative 25 for a missed kick, which
is
ridiculous.
One thing I thought was interesting in that game, and I know the Colts, early on, they went for 2, I think, in one of their early losses. Remember, they went for 2 to try to win the football game and ended up losing by a point.
Yep.
And this game, they had a similar situation. They got down to, like, the Jacksonville, I want to say, like, 15 with, like, 4 minutes left, and they opted to go for it instead of kick a field goal to cut it to 6-3. And then they got the ball back again with 2 minutes and got right back down there. So, you know.
Could have tied the
game. Probably could have tied the game and took it into overtime.
Sure.
Right.
I don't know what the math is on that. My guess is the projected math is very similar either way you do it. But, yeah, I don't know. Just a weird game to kind of see unfold there. Last one I want to touch on here is Panthers 17, Buccaneers 24. Panthers team, what was looking like a pretty solid team here, have now lost a couple of kind of really just odd games they shouldn't have lost.
They lost 4 in a row now?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, maybe they're the team that they should be based on the injuries, and they were just overplaying for a while there. They're in the same boat as the Colts here. Their playoff chances are on lifeline right now.
I'm not sold on Cam. That's just my opinion. You know, he's a heck of an athlete, but, you know, I think time has proven that great athletes in the quarterback position don't necessarily add up to victories. I mean, he did get him to the Super Bowl, but I just, if you make that guy throw the ball and don't allow him to beat you with his feet, it just seems like he can't get it done. I mean, what a weapon he's got there. McCaffrey, geez, the guy's putting up, you know, he's just a stud when it comes, especially fantasy numbers, but between receiving and rushing and for a little guy, you know, I don't know. I mean, Olsen, arguably one of the best tight ends, you know, in the league over time. He's getting a little older. Obviously, he got hurt. Funchess was back. Yeah, I did not expect that game to go that way. I really did not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Bucs are a weird team this year. We've seen them beat the Saints. We've seen them lose.
Well, divisional game.
You know, yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, in any interdivisional game, all bets are off. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. Any team can beat any team.
Realistically, the Bucs are going to be a game out of the playoffs after tonight, most likely. It's seven losses. I mean, they're still very much alive in the NFC.
Well, yeah, if they were on the table right now, they could take a spot. I don't expect them to do that, but
no. But I mean,
I expect them to be one loss away from making the playoffs.
Yeah,
absolutely. Unless there's anything else for you guys around the league, we can jump into Vikings. But anything else from you guys?
No, I mean nothing.
Not really.
It was a fun week, but
yeah, a lot of interesting games, a lot of upsets. So yeah, let's jump into some Vikings here. So. We walk into New England, and so that happened, Mike.
Well, poor kid, I tell you, he's a survivalist, though. We're going to live to play another week. I do think it's odd, you know, that the start to that game was not the way we wanted it to go. Defensively, especially, to jump out immediately and have defensive breakdowns, that gives Tom Brady a little bit of a rhythm,
right?
That's all he needs.
Yeah, I think typically the Zimmer's defense MO is he gives up a touchdown typically in the first couple drives, right? And then he kind of settles into what he needs to do. However, like you said, the danger with that is if you do that to a guy like Tom Brady, he's going to break you after that. So you have to be very careful of what you're willing to give up to try and understand what their tendencies are. As in my opinion on it, is you have to be very careful with that. And I like being more aggressive in a first drive like that, and I didn't really feel like we were aggressive at all on defense, really.
And I just say, you know, Tom Brady, the other thing, their offensive line did a wonderful job. You know, they kept that pocket clean. They allowed him to slide up when he needed to. I mean, I don't know how many times we did not get to him enough defensively, even pressure him. I mean, he was clean the entire first half, and what did he maybe had a couple hits on him and one sack. I mean, you can't have a guy like that stand back there. The man's 41 years old. You got to put him on the ground a couple of times, and we didn't really even pressure him.
No, not at all.
And that's a killer. You can't let him. He's just throwing BBs, you know. It's just like, and he gets rid of the ball quick. I get that.
Right.
But he needed to bust up the middle there. They needed to get him out running, get those legs a little tired, and we didn't do any of that. He was so comfortable back there. That's probably one of my biggest frustrations watching that game. Was just how comfortable he was in that pocket.
I think we said in the preview show coming into it that one of the keys was to actually pressure him, get him off his spot, and kind of make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. And we did not do that at all. We didn't. I don't even recall a time we showed blitz. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if it was under five times we actually showed a blitz package.
When we did, he ran for a first down.
Right.
Tell me that wasn't coming. I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah. So, Mike, I'll let you work on the positives here because I know you have very few.
You know, why don't – I think we should just start every game at about the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, and we can be down 7-0. It would just save time for everyone. We can get rid of our first 3-and-out, the inevitable drive down the field by the other team to score a touchdown, maybe even 10-0. Typically, we like that 7-10-0, and then we get going. I would like, have we got a first down on our first possession this year? Honestly,
I would have to look at the stats, but yeah, it doesn't seem like it happens very often.
And we always end up in like 3rd-and-1, and then we just don't get it. I mean, it's
well, I think that's more a product of the offensive line not doing a good enough job rush blocking, but that's a whole different conversation there.
Right? There really were not many positives in this game for me, as you know.
You have one on there,
Dalvin. You know, 9 rushes for 84 yards. You're averaging over 9 a carry. seems like maybe you might want to give the guy more than 9 carries. I don't know. That's just me, but...
Here's my frustration with that. So in this game, the rushing game is effective with Dalvin Cook getting out in space and cutting some pretty big runs. And then what you do is you abandon it for seemingly no reason. But then there's other games where literally it's 20 carries for 40 yards and you're still pounding the rock in the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me why they did that.
He's a home run hitter. I mean, the guy is, again, he can be a dynamic player for this offense. But they have to build this around him. You know, we talk about Diggs and you know, you look at Thielen in the receiving game, but realistically, I think for this offense to click, they need to build this thing around Cook. Because you look at all the great teams that have done this in the past, you look at Le'Veon Bell, you look at what McCaffrey's what's happening down in Carolina. These guys have dynamic people coming out of the backfield that are game changers. Melvin Gordon. You know, everybody that's doing well has these type players. And it opens up the rest of it. It opens up the passing game if you do this. And to have 9 rushes, yeah, what was it? Yeah, he was averaging over 9 yards a carry.
He did average, yeah, over 9 a carry.
So, you know, and why they pound him sometimes too, I think is because he's got that home run threat. You know, he's going to break through. If he gets through the line once, he's gone.
Well, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that sentiment. I'm okay with that, you know, the whole Adrian Peterson famine feast type of strategy. But the problem I have with the way we're utilizing him in that rush capacity when we're going up against a brick wall is we're doing it between the tackles.
Right.
We can't run effectively between the tackles. That is not what we've historically seen in the 2 years of Dalvin we've seen. That is not where he has his explosiveness. That is not where he creates missed tackles. It's off tackle. It's these screens. It's these jet sweeps that he's getting out in space and making guys miss. That's where he excels. That's where O-line typically excels in rush blocking. So why aren't we doing that more? Why are we set on rushing between the tackles when it doesn't work?
Well, and they took him out and they put Murray in. Well, that changes the whole defensive complex for New England, too, because they don't have to worry as much about Murray because he is a pounded between the tackles guy. And then they started running outside with him as well, and that's not what he does well either. And it was a very confusing use of personnel, I thought. Dalvin Cook should be on that field almost every single down. I mean, he really should in some capacity, whether they put him out as a wide receiver or whatever, but he is a weapon and they really need to utilize him. I realize the guy's been injured a lot, but, you know.
He's healthy now, and if they can figure out this last quarter of the season, who knows what we can do?
If we can see it by watching games as fans on the weekends, these guys watch these tapes and watch these tapes and watch these tapes. They've got to be able to see that.
At least you hope, because otherwise, I don't know what they're doing.
Well, they're trying. It seems to me like sometimes they're trying to trick people into thinking they're doing something, and they think they're going to catch them by going the other way. And it's like, no. If you're good at something, continue to do it. You know,
don't get cute with it. Just be yourself.
No. Yeah, I mean,
it'll get simplified. I promise you, Zimmer will have this thing down to
3 plays.
Simplified.
Well, and they did try to get him the ball. You know, he had 10 targets. He had 8 catches for 22 yards only. But you saw a little bit more like we did that first game of the year where they're throwing to him, trying to get him the ball in space. But it was working from the, you know, it just, why did you go away from it? Cousins had 32 attempts for 200 yards. I mean, that's roughly 7 yards of completion. It's just, I mean, another game where I think Cousins had an opportunity to really put points on the board. And I don't know, it's been disappointing. DeFilippo, I don't know. I keep hearing he's the rumor for all these coaching jobs, and at this point, I'm fine if he goes.
He's sliding down that list pretty quickly.
And I'll say this. I don't mind having DeFilippo carrying over into next year. I feel like a second year with the same quarterback, the same OC, the same personnel, it can be beneficial. However, if you were to go, I wouldn't be that distraught.
I don't think he's going to have the options that he was afforded this last year coming off that Super Bowl win. I think you can maybe say that his ability to try and be so creative right now is maybe trying to show off a little bit, but I would think that you would need results to be considered. But they're looking at these young guys. They want these young coordinators taking over these teams.
Yeah, and that's one thing Mike was talking about is your defensive strategy isn't really what the game plan is right now. I think, honestly, if this entire football team and Zimmer's coaching strategy was teleported 10 years in the past, we'd have a couple Lombardis right now.
Yeah.
But it's just everything is so high-powered offense that you can't really keep pace with a stout defense because they're still going to get lucky breaks on you no matter how good you are. And you have to be able to put up 20, 30 points a game to win games.
Right.
I just feel we have the personnel offensively to do that.
They do.
I just believe that we do.
Yeah. No, I think it's one of the most talented offensive teams from a weaponry standpoint in the league, and that's the frustrating thing is why aren't we putting points up? And I get you were close on a couple of Thielen drops that pass, longer pass. They got behind triple coverage. The interception to Robinson was, 6 inches from
short.
You know, that's almost a dropped in touchdown, and it just, I mean, I don't know. You had a couple of what I think most Minnesota fans thought were pass interference that could have been called in the end zone.
Should have been
on. I don't remember if it was back to back. If it wasn't,
it was
really
back to back.
Yeah. So I mean, I get it, but you and I were talking. We're out of the time. You can't make excuses anymore. You've got 4 weeks left, and you certainly need to go 3-1, if not 4-0, to make the playoffs.
Well, and we've talked about it in the past couple of weeks, is it always seems like we're finding new ways to lose games. And now it's, okay, now Thielen makes a couple drops, and, you know, we have a couple bad calls that don't go our way that really should have been. So it's like we're finding new ways to continue to lose games, and it just doesn't... It's frustrating as a fan to watch that, because, you know, one game you have a stout defense, the next game you'll put up 40 points in offense, the next game you'll you know, get... a lucky break on special teams. It's just like, if we can put it freaking together one game, you have a really good football team, but it never comes together.
Yeah. The mistakes need to stop. I mean, and even as simple as, you know, you look at Thielen and those two drops that he had, I mean, those are, in the scheme of things, those are big plays. And, you know, and he doesn't do that. We're not used to him seeing that the same, you know, when the Saints, when he fumbled, we're not used to seeing those kind of things. But those are the little things that are keeping us from taking that next step, and we got to clean them up. I mean, or it's going to be a long off season.
Right. Yeah, and I think the frustrating thing is you had a defense that has not been very good this year, and you
they look like world beaters.
You know, you didn't, and then you have Dalvin that had an explosive day running the ball, but yet you're only able to come up with whatever it was, ten points. You know that. That's not even frustrating. That's a cause for concern. And that's where I'm at. You know,
right? You have all these names, you have all these players that are just putting up volume stats like crazy, and you're still only able to put up 10 points on a defense that's ranked 22nd in the league.
And they didn't really kill themselves here. You know, like this wasn't a game where we fumbled in the red zone, we whatever.
Right.
I mean, you had that pass, but they didn't really hang. It was a 10-10 game going basically into the fourth quarter, pretty close. I think they scored with, like, you know, a minute and a half left in the third there.
Yeah, it was really close to the end of the third quarter.
So your defense is doing everything to keep you on the road against Tom Brady. 10 points almost going into the fourth quarter.
On the road outside in December.
And you, I mean, that's just, you have to do better. You got to figure it out. And now you're going across the coast and to another extremely difficult place to play.
Yeah.
Not going to get any easier next week.
Nope.
No, there's no easy left, I don't think.
And they're one of the hottest teams right now, I would say, in the NFL. Seattle.
They're confident.
Extremely confident.
Maybe we can use that to our advantage.
Well, we couldn't get to Brady, so I guess maybe Wilson will come to us, huh?
Right, yeah. So one other note here is... dealing with some secondary injuries, and obviously injuries are never an excuse, you know. But at a certain point, you're down to your depth so far that it does matter. You got Sherrills was in there a significant portion of the game.
Yeah.
I saw Harris might have been injured at some point. Rhodes was kind of in and out. Waynes went out early with a concussion. So you're dealing with your fourth, fifth, sixth string guys at this point after you've had Hughes go out. You've had... Groves, like I said, injured. You had all these guys go down already. So, obviously, that plays a factor when you have a guy like Tom Brady who can take advantage of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, the depth hurt us. Rhodes was clearly on some sort of a... I don't know if it was a snap count, but he wasn't in every single play. Towards the end, he was in pretty often, but I think it was because he had to be in. I mean, you know, Waynes was lost, too. I think a concussion protocol was out for the game. Anytime Sherrills is playing that much, that's a problem. I mean, you know, he's not... we don't want him out there on defense, realistically.
His position should not read as cornerback. It should read as ST, special teams.
Right, right. And then Harris, like I said, I think the Vikings might have made some money up for Harris, a player that I think we all like long-term. But clearly, you saw him be exposed a couple times. Now, he did make a great saving tackle to prevent, I forget who it was, get into the end zone right down kind of on the one-yard line. Made a really nice tackle on a one-on-one play. But, the defense, it was a weird game, I guess. When you take the injuries into account and the fact that it's Brady and everything else, like, I don't know. I'm okay with it. Like, I would maybe give him a C-plus type of a grade, but it was a weird game. I mean, there's a lot of problems right now. There's a lot of leaks.
Yeah, you just got to be able to answer back. I agree. You know, when you look at that, as bad as you might feel like that defense played initially, when you consider that Brady scored that touchdown with, you know, I believe it was under 2 minutes left in the third quarter when they finally had 17-10, you know, that's three quarters to hold Brady to 10 points, still be in that football game. We just needed that offense to step up a little bit. You know, in fact, it'd be interesting to find out how many times they actually ran the ball in the fourth quarter, because I don't think they ran the ball 15 times total.
New England, you're talking about?
No, us, when we were trying to get back in. You know, we were doing so well in the running game. I wonder how many runs we really had, because they literally went away from the run.
We had 13.
I think that's telling, because
Cook had 9 and Latavius had 4 total, 13 rushes in the game.
Yeah, okay, there was a quote from Zimmer saying that he thought the offense panicked after it went 17-10, which what you're saying to me makes a lot of sense, because if we panicked, we went away from the run, we thought it was too late for some reason. I don't know why, if you're only down a score, but if we panicked, went away from the run, that is very telling.
Our offensive line cannot hold up to Kirk Cousins dropping back and passing 45 times a game.
Here's the thing, though. He was only pressured on like 30% of dropbacks.
Right.
That's, I think, his best rate of the season. I know, but that's still his best rate of the season, and he still put up this performance.
Yeah, they had two runs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, that's not a balanced offense. That's panic.
Yeah.
The definition of panic.
Now, granted, a majority of the fourth, we were down. They went up by 14 at about the 11-minute mark. So you were down by two scores the majority of that quarter. But when you're picking up 9-10 yards a clip on the ground, I'd still continue to mix it in.
And like I said, if you're doing those jet sweeps, you're doing those off tackle runs, you're running towards the sideline anyway, so it's really not a concern to try to get out of bounds and save time.
Yeah.
You can get there fairly easily if you're running off that way.
You know, they made the comment going into this game that Belichick makes you left-handed, so to speak. So for us lefties out there, that's not such a bad thing. But when you really think about it, you knew he was going to take away Diggs and Thielen.
And he did.
Pretty much what he wanted to do. And that is, I think, why initially Cook was having some success, because of what Belichick was doing to keep us from that passing game the way we've been doing it. And we went away from that. And I think if we had stuck with it longer, it would have had to make some concessions and some decisions on their defense that would have changed it could have changed the outcome. But it certainly would have been better off moving that ball and sticking with that run, because you knew that Belichick was taking that passing game away from us.
Right. Okay. Now, one thing just on that note, correct me if I'm wrong, but John DeFilippo was not calling the offensive plays for Philadelphia. That was still Doug Peterson, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Right. So my theory here is that's inexperience from DeFilippo. Just not sticking to his plan, not trusting his plan enough, and letting it pan out.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, too, is you got to remember that Cousins has got some latitude in there to change plays as well based on what he's seeing. Now, I don't know how much they've given him, but as a veteran quarterback, I'm assuming that he does have the ability to see a certain setup in front of him and then check out of a play.
Sure.
So you're going to have a little bit of that as well.
All right. We talked about offense. We talked about our defense. Let's talk about the rest of the league and how they helped us out in this game. We lost, but so did almost every single other playoff contender we're against. Carolina lost, Chicago lost, Atlanta lost, Green Bay lost, and Washington or Philadelphia is going to lose tonight. Hopefully, I know Vikings fans is going to feel weird. You want to root for Philadelphia because it evens the table more. So we got help in the playoff race. If our goal is to get the playoffs, we're still in good shape. 67% chance.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, and I guess I heard Zimmer had the same message, it's still right out in front of you. That's what he told the team. But I don't know. The more I'm rethinking it back on this game, it's like, where was the fire? And where it just, I don't know, it seems like we're more almost at a boiling over point than we are a unity come together and let's go, let's get this. And it's concerning for me. I don't know, I'm not getting the right vibe right now from this team.
Well, okay, what do you mean by boiling over point? Frustration level boiling over?
Yeah, the players are not together. I don't feel the glue. I don't see the excitement when they're making plays necessarily. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of frustration all over the place. I mean, obviously, Zimmer is passive-aggressive in a lot of his press conferences. He's frustrated with some of the play calling. I think people are dropping the ball. It's just, I don't know. It seems like this is a year that we're just going to have to sweep under the rug, and it's going to be frustrating, and we're not even going to know how it happened or why it happened. But I don't know.
I'm not sure. I would agree there's I'm not getting that same feeling, you know, that there's things going on. But I think also in the boiling point, you know, you look at a couple of the deals where they're arguing with the refs and they're arguing with the other players, and you know, there's a lot of that energy that's going, and I think sometimes that does start to happen when the little things keep going wrong. you continually want to have something good happen for you, and you feel like those little things keep biting you, and then that starts to get, you're expecting it to happen. And you've got to play through that. And hopefully they're mature enough as a team, and Zimmer's got these guys going, that he can get them talked through this. And we'll know next week. I mean, that's you know, if you're going to look at a must win, I would say that's probably about as close as it gets, because we're going to be able to say that every week. But
so it feels a little bit like quicksand, like one of my favorite movie quotes from The Replacements. You make a mistake, then you make another, and then another. And it just feels like sooner or later you're over your head, like quicksand. Yep. Just can't get out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's no rhyme or reason. We'll throw up 37 or 8 against the Jets, and then you play a defense like the Patriots where the defense is doing enough to keep you in, and your offense can't put up points. And then you have these, you know, the Rams game was exciting. It's back and forth. It was like, we are going to score. It's more, who has the ball left? You know, understand how your team can be that different on a game-to-game basis. Like, every time we touched the ball in that Rams game, I felt like we were going to score a touchdown. We were moving it at just giant clips through the... That's the other thing. Let's take some more chances downfield or the middle of the field. Maybe stretch the field a little bit. Where's that?
When you know the other team's going to take away your bread and butter, which is the throwing game, you know, the mid-level passes to your tight ends and your wide receivers, and you don't put together a game plan to go in there and attack them differently... that's a fail. I mean, to me, that's a fail.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree. I think you just watch this game and you see how the play calling broke down in critical instances, and I don't think anyone can come away with anything other than a complete and utter systematic failure.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what we did to Aaron Rodgers when we knew he had to pass. You know, one of the best. But when we're sitting back on it, you know, when we can rush the quarterback and you know that they're not going to be able to run the ball to beat you, it changes, the defense can play much more aggressively. And I just think we didn't take advantage of an opportunity there. And it was for the showing. You saw it. I mean, we saw the success we had. And to just have that disappear, that does say panic or something like we talked about earlier.
Yep. Well, I guess looking at the bright side, we have one final outdoor game to play, and that is Monday night against Seattle. After that, we go play Dolphins at home. Then we go play Detroit at Ford Field. And then we play Chicago Bears at home. So, as we said, everything's ahead of us, but I think if we're to actually make a run, you absolutely must make a statement at Seattle.
You have to win. I mean,
you not only win, you have to win convincingly enough to where everything looks like it's clicking and on the table.
I don't see any way that happens right now. I mean, there's we haven't beat anybody. I mean, the teams that we've beat are terrible.
Yes, but Mike, we get a whole extra day to prepare.
Yeah. As long as we get out of there at the win, I don't care how it happens. That's where I'm
well,
at.
Well, and I think that beating Seattle in Seattle is a statement win all by itself, to be honest with you. I don't know that you need to go in there and win by 20. I think the fact that you can go into Seattle and steal a victory from a team that's in the playoff hunt with you, a team that chances are pretty good, whoever loses that game, the other team's got a really big chance of taking that spot. you know that Seattle's not going to win that division. So they're doing the wild card dance all the way through. And we've got a chance of winning the division and or a wild card. And if that's not motivation enough to go in and give your best game and leave it all on the field, then I don't know what else there is to motivate these people.
I just think you're going to get a Seattle team that basically knows if they win that football game, they're probably making the playoffs. Because I view the Vikings as...
It's such a huge swing.
Record-wise, the Vikings are going to be their biggest opponent for, you know, one of those spots. And if they can go in and beat them, I mean, unless they lose out, they're going to make the playoffs. And so you're going to get a really confident, motivated, ready to roll team. And I haven't seen that from our football team. And certainly in primetime, I haven't seen it. So I will be picking the Seattle Seahawks to win. And my score prediction right now will not be close.
I've got time to think about this.
Yeah, I'm going to take a few days and think about it. One day is a little bit raw. I think I'll be thinking about that quite yet. But, you know, we'll see how this coaching staff responds. We'll see what Zimmer does. He mentioned a little bit of possibly passing off more adjustment duty to George Edwards so he can focus more on the offense, which, honestly, he should be doing that anyway. I don't think he should be calling plays. I think right now he's got his hand in too many pots, and he needs to just continue. He needs to pull back and actually be a true CEO of the team. And I think until that happens, I don't think we're going anywhere.
Yeah, he's got it. They've got to do something. I mean, it's the offense is not responding to what's happening right now, not consistently enough. And the players are there. The players are there.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Like, this team has got plenty of talent, but for whatever reason, it's just not coming together. We'll kind of see what happens here after the season. Hopefully, we'll have a couple playoff games, more than one, hopefully. But
you should have a great opportunity to have a home playoff game. But and I think this whole fan base is just frustrated. And let's show the team that we thought they could be.
Right. They are who we thought they were.
Hopefully we can say that on Monday.
We let them off the hook.
Washington's in for a nosedive here with the injuries they've had. You know, the chances of them continuing going forward, I don't think they're going to be much.
No.
You know, it's going to come down to basically Seattle. I mean, Carolina, I think, will get back on their game and maybe get back in the mix a little bit. But you got Philly that's going to sneak in there. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to be, you know, 6-6 probably after tonight.
You'd think, but...
You know, yeah, I mean, again, that's a matchup, so like you said, Ed, you take that and throw it right out the window because it just doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that we got to take care of our own business.
If we win out, we make the playoffs, plain and simple. If we don't, we need extreme amounts of help.
If we win out, I got to believe there's a 90% chance that we're the division winner.
And I think I would tend to agree, and I think, Mike, you tend to agree with that, too. Problem is, I don't think any one of us can see that clearly right now based on what we've seen this last six games.
No.
So, I think that wraps up, unless you guys got any other notes on this current situation for this Vikings team.
No, I think that the bumper music should be Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
That's a good jam, and that might be appropriate by the time we get on the bus there, so...
It's going to be every week. Every week, man.
Yeah. And you know, we're halfway there, man. We're halfway there.
Yep. We can get it done.
All right. So, Scolders.com, part of the Climbing the Pocket Network, climbingthepocket.com. I'm at Namok7 on Twitter.
Muskie_Mike.
Dave, you got a Twitter?
No, sir, I don't. But thank you for the invite, and I had a great time with you guys.
We're going to get Dave on Twitter. Thank you for joining us, Dave. It was great talking some Vikings with you. Always a treat. Looking forward to having you back on soon.
And, all right.
Going to wrap it up for us. So, Skol Vikes, let's go out there. Let's get this win. Stay tuned for the preview show of Seattle. And everything's ahead of us. Let's go, boys.
Skol.